I don't want to interrupt anybody's napping time. I've already asked if I was going to be long-winded or not, and I said no more than an hour. But then after that, David said he'd fill in for me after I got done. Then I thought about Paul. Paul preached to midnight, but it doesn't tell us what time he started. Most of you know what something like this is. Some people call it a clicker. Some people call it their keyless remote to get in their vehicle. But apparently the official name for it is a key fob, F-O-B. And when you have one of these, you get used to using it and to unlock and lock your doors. And then when it's not working, you wonder, what am I going to do? And so I bought this truck that I drive back in 2010, and it was already 4 or 5 years old. And the fob worked on it great. In fact, too good sometimes, because if I sat down or just bent and got in the wrong position, my alarm would start beeping in my truck outside at the school parking lot. But in the last year or so, it's quit working very well. I took it upon myself to change the battery, and that worked for about a week. So I just thought, bad battery, I put another in there, it worked about a week. And then I just went without it for a while. But then the other day, because I didn't want to go to Nissan and pay them $75 or $150 or whatever they're going to charge me for a programmed new fob, I'll just do without. But I got on the internet and I found a place that said they could sell you one for about $8 and send you the instructions in order to program it. So I said, what's $8? If it don't work, I'm just out $8. So I got it. And I got the instructions. Now I'm going to recite these basically to you. They're not all that long. But what I was supposed to do, and I did, I got in the truck and shut the door. I reached over to the door panel and pressed and held the door lock. And then I put the key in the ignition and out, and in and out, and in and out, at least 6 times in 10 seconds, and if you time it right, the flashers will flash on your dashboard. Then you have like 10 seconds to put the key in, turn it over to accessory, and then push the lock thing on your fob, and then the lights will flash again, and it's programmed. Now, if you're like me, that doesn't make any sense as to why that's how you program this thing. But the sense it does make is this. They sent me these instructions, and when I followed them correctly, guess what? It worked. So, there's an application for this. I want us to look at one thing. In 2 Kings chapter 5, we're told about a man, Naaman. Now, y'all all know about Naaman. He was a leper, a captain in the king of Syria's army, and his wife's handmaid was a Jewish young lady who said, if he could just be over there in my homeland, the prophet could probably cure him of his leprosy. So he went to the king. King sends him over there. He gets over there, and the king of Israel says, I don't know why you sent him to me. I can't do anything. So he ends up, though, at the house of Elisha. Elisha doesn't even come out. He sends out his servant, and he tells Naaman these simple words. Go and dip yourself in the Jordan River 7 times, and your leprosy will be made whole. Now, you know, Naaman had a reaction to that similar to what most of us would. That doesn't make any sense to me. As a matter of fact, he already had it in his mind. What was going to make sense was that the prophet would come out and wave his hands or something, and he would just be miraculously cured. But he was convinced that he needed to follow the instructions, and so he did. And guess what happened when he followed those instructions? His leprosy was made whole. He was cleansed. Because he followed instructions that didn't make sense to him. Well, there's another application we can take out of this. If you have your Bibles, you like to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul talked about to this congregation in Corinth He was talking to them about various things, even in chapter 1, in verse 10, about being united instead of divided and following this one and that one. Led him to the point where he said, I'm glad I had baptized very many of you myself, because that would contribute to this problem. But then in verse 17 and following, he begins to remind them of what his mission was. Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. They don't understand. It doesn't make sense to them why God would choose this method to save men from their sins, to send His Son to be born of a woman into this world, not as a royal person, not as a king or a lord, but rather as a lowly, the son of a carpenter, just an everyday person. And then to take that young man when he was a man and to have him crucified on the cross for our sins. That doesn't make sense to people. And also doesn't make sense to people that God would give us the instructions that He have in order for us to benefit from that. I mean, how much sense does it make that we are to be baptized, for instance, immersed in water for the remission of sins? That's kind of like Naaman. It didn't make any sense to him to dip in the Jordan River to have his leprosy cleansed. But it doesn't matter whether it makes sense to us or not. It doesn't matter that it didn't make sense to me that that's the way you program this thing. When I followed the instructions, it worked. It didn't make sense to Naaman to dip himself in the Jordan River. He says, well, we got cleaner rivers than that where I came from. I could just go there and do it. It didn't make sense to him. But when he followed God's instructions, he was made whole. There are many in the world that this doesn't make sense to them. Verse 19 and 21, back where we were. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. That didn't make sense to them. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. The preaching of the cross didn't make sense to them. Therefore, they're not going to be saved because it doesn't make sense. I'm not going to do it. But to those who believe, regardless if it makes sense to you or not, when you believe and you obey, following the instructions brings us the desired benefit, the salvation of our souls. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. See, it doesn't have to make sense to me, but it makes sense to God. And if I submit myself to His instruction, whether it makes sense to me or not, I'm going to receive the benefit of that because I've been willing to obey, even if I didn't understand. He's the one that counts. His way is the way that counts. His instruction are the instructions that count, and nothing else matters except are you willing to obey? Maybe you're here this evening and you've never obeyed the gospel. Thus, you've never become a child of God because you have not submitted to the instructions of God. We want to give you that opportunity today to do that. It's pretty simple, really. Believe in God, Hebrews 11:6. Believe in Jesus as the Son of God, John 8:24. Repent of your sins, Acts 3:19. Confess Jesus publicly, Matthew 10:32-33. And submit yourself to baptism to have your sins washed away, Acts 2:38, Acts 22:16, which, by the way, includes that great old phrase, calling on the name of the Lord. And then the instruction for God's children is to live a faithful life. If there's something that's preventing you from being a child of God, whether you have not obeyed the gospel or whether the world has got a hold of you, we want to allow you the opportunity right now to do something that will put you in connection with God and His love and grace and mercy and forgiveness. Won't you come right now as we stand and sing our song of encouragement?